Jay Beanstalk soon arrived, and we were ready to roll. This boardroom scene could become historic for its histrionics. It was a cross between a soap opera and a court of law. How could something so seemingly simple, a team that went over budget by about 10% and disqualified itself for being late for a deadline, turn into such chaos? The scene took a while. After I dismissed the team, except for three of the members, it surfaced that one of the three had displayed aberrational behavior that had frightened and alienated the rest of the contestants. I had no choice but to find out from the entire team what had actually transpired concerning this team member, so all the dismissed women were called back into the boardroom immediately. We debated what could be considered crazy behavior versus what could be considered eccentric or just tough behavior. Was this person dangerous? Should this person be given another chance, even though the rest of the team agreed her behavior was frightening? Enough psychos have worked for me, and I can't take any chances. The decision was serious and important, and difficult. But she had to go. Afterward, Mark Burnett, Craig Plestis, and I discussed the intensity and length of the last two boardroom scenes, each of which had taken close to 2 hours. They were riveting to shoot, and the monitor room thought they were great television. So we decided that there could be a Saturday night episode which could feature the boardroom scene in its entirety. We left the set after a long night and set a meeting to discuss this idea further. Thursday, May 20th. At 9 a.m., I went downstairs to meet the Mark Burnett crew. We were going to meet the candidates at Jean Georges, the restaurant in the Trump International Hotel and Tower, for the fourth task assignment. It was a perfect spring day in New York. We traveled over to the west side and saw the seemingly never-ending construction at Columbus Circle. I'm not the only one who thinks the construction is endless. Regis did a comedy segment on his show about how this entire area had been in scaffolding and under demolition and construction for so long that when the scaffolding finally came down, people couldn't figure what was different about their neighborhood. But they knew something was. It has looked like a disaster zone for years. The traffic jams have been unbelievable, too, and we're talking years, not months. It's getting there, but it's been an ordeal for everyone. Fortunately, the Trump International Hotel and Tower has been spared this mess by its location, which is directly across from Central Park, on Central Park itself, not on Broadway and Columbus Circle, like the Time Warner building. I still wonder whether the new tenants there are enjoying their view of my building. Location isn't always the most important consideration, but in instances like this, it can be. Mark Burnett and I greeted Jean Georges inside his restaurant as the apprentice candidates entered the formal dining room to await their next task assignment. This room is beautifully serene, so much so that everyone seemed uncharacteristically calm. Someone mentioned that the room is very much like a Milton Avery painting, which we agreed was a good observation. Bill Rancic was also with us today. We decided it's fitting, the return of the original apprentice to the second season of the show. Bill mentioned that he cannot walk down the streets in Chicago without being mobbed. He is a big celebrity there, as it's his hometown. Apparently, he has also been named the most eligible bachelor of the year. If any of this attention has gone to his head, we've seen no indication of it whatsoever.